As promised, we are with David together in the studio. Very good morning to you, and what do you have in store for our listeners this morning?
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Matthias. Good morning to our dear listeners. And today we are going to look at the most required skills in the next 5 years.
Okay.
The most required skills in the job market. We are going to analyze the World Economic Forum report of 2025, which always look at what are some of the most important skills that are going to be needed in the next 5 to 10 years. Because you know what?
Yeah.
With changing in terms of either is digitalization or what's happening around the world, it's no more about what you have studied, it's what you can do,
yeah,
and also about how fast you can change. Because by then we used to think if somebody is an LLB holder,
yeah,
is an admitted lawyer, it means that the future is guaranteed. It's going to be a richest guy who contribute to the community. But things have changed now.
Yeah.
That a lawyer without understanding how digital world is working is less to nothing. Yeah, because the world is now have changed to say it's no more about qualification, it's how fast you can cope and change. Also, we want to look at those skills to say when parents are preparing their kids to go to universities, do they look at the position or they look at what their kids are going to be able to do? Because one of the main things here is flexibility. Are able to be flexible. Yeah, because by then, when we were growing up, we used to think, my father is a BETD graduate. By that time, they were the best in the village. It's like you have a master's degree. By that time, if you have a BETD diploma.
Yeah.
But now you can't even present that on the table because things have changed. But we are going to look at that. Looking forward.
Yeah. Artificial intelligence taking over.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking to myself here that perhaps also a lot of jobs will be phased out when it comes to women skills, that in the sense that a lot of work will be done by robotic machines.
Yeah.
And we have seen how the technology is working. It's really taking over.
But you know what it is? There is something that we should not also be scared of, especially when you talk about AI and the robotic future, or which is already present. Because at the end of the day, human beings are still going to be in charge. That is number one. And the other thing also that we need to put in mind is that whether you have robotics or AI or whatever advanced technology, is that ask yourself, who is in charge? Who is going to fix those things when they go out? Who is going to program them if they face out? Because human beings cannot put life to a man. That is number one. And the other thing, how are you going to be flexible in those robotic worlds? But when you speak about these things of robotics, Africa, we are still going to be a bit behind. We are still going to deal with our own problems.
Yeah.
Yes, we are now in Namibia. The world is talking about advancement in terms of technology. But as we are still talking about when are we going to get food on Friday? Do you understand?
Yeah.
That's why to us, we don't need to, we can get into this debate, but we must know ourselves. What is our position in this changing world?
Even if we have to get the machines, we don't have the parts, how to repair them, for example.
Ask yourself this question, and I'm saying it with much respect. How can you talk about the future of AI if you're applying for a job at the Ministry of ICT, you are still using hard copy?
Hard copy,
you understand? And that was supposed to be a leader of advancement in terms of technology. That's why when we discuss about this, we must also know our position as Namibians to say, where are we in this in this changing things? To say, okay, we can be flexible and all those things, but where are we? But yeah, something to look at.
Right, from myself, Matthias Angala, I have to love you and leave you in the capable hands of David. I trust that he will take care of you, good care of you like I did. And, have a good listening. Ciao for now.
Join us every weekday for the Twilight between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. where we discuss various ways on how we can develop our country. The Twilight, before the sun comes up. Join us every weekday for the Twilight between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. where we discuss various ways on how we can develop our country. The Twilight, before the sun comes up.
Great news! Import just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop. And yeah, I think it's the right time to thank Mathias Sangala. It's the right time to thank Mathias Sangala. And this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's the 8th of September, 2025. And we are moving forward toward the end of the year. Yeah, we are moving forward toward the end of the year. What is very important, especially at this point, sorry, is very important this morning to make sure that, you know, you are asking yourself this question to say, what have you done in the past 9 months? What are those good things that we have done? What are some of the challenges that you have faced with? And what are some of the things that you can also, you know, change, or some of the things that you can continue doing? Because at the end of the day, it's about monitoring and evaluation. As far as we monitor and evaluate institutional progress, it's also very important also not to forget ourselves, that we look at what are those things that we have done well, and what are those things that can also assist us to move into the future. So for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop. This is your economic conversational program. So economic conversational program is where we are having our economic discussion, our developmental discussion, and looking forward. Yeah, just before we go deep into the conversation for today, you know, it's always very important as a human being, it's always very important, especially looking at what is happening around. We did not have quite a very beautiful weekend. We have seen what is happening around. We have lost a legend in terms of music, and also in terms of you know, it's a revolutionary legend, and people are mourning Lasse Hama. And we must give respect to those who contributed to the development of the country, in either in terms of creative industry or also in terms of you know, giving hope and motivation to others. But what we need to put on the table is that as human beings, we must always make sure that we feel. Let us make sure that we feel in our cup, because at the end of the day, it's about ourselves, and the giver, a taker does not have a limit. And in most cases, those who are assisting us, we end up, you know, neglecting them. But looking at the future, it's always very important to look at that aspect, and also moving forward. So in terms of what we have the table, as I have always indicated, this is Early Morning Scoop. It's a platform that we discuss about the economy, we discuss about developmental issue, we discuss about what is happening around the world, we discuss about things which have a direct and indirect impact in our country, where the country have been, what are those things that we have done well. And indeed, what are those things that we did not do right, either as individuals, as private sector, as public sector, or as NGO? What are those things that we have not done well? Because at the end of the day, it's always us looking forward to achieve the country's developmental goals. But if you are not honestly assessing ourselves, and we are not looking at things that we did not do well, there is no way that we are going to improve, and there is no way that we are going to get there where we want to get. That's why we are always indicating to you that as long as the country is where it is, as long as the country is where it is now, either in terms of economy, in terms of human development, particularly on the ground of human development, we'll continue to have this conversation, and we will not only continue to have this conversation as one directed conversation, but we'll continue to have this conversation with the public, that we are also going to allow you to contribute to the conversation, also allow you to contribute to the conversation, especially when we are looking at where the country is. You look at Namibia, look at, for example, you look at the economic inequality, because in the whole world, just understand how many countries are in the whole world. In the whole world, Namibia, we are number two in terms of income inequality, which means that you have few super rich people. Then you have a lot of people who are below the poverty line. Depends on how you are defining it. You have a lot of people who are, you know, struggling to make the ends meet, That's why that is one of the biggest, you know, threat that Namibia is dealing with. And remember, at one point we were at number one. But what you need to look at is also that these are some of the things that we really need to look at. Look at the standard of our energy, for example, energy consumption, the price of energy. Look at the price of oil. Look at the aspect of unemployment, either it's youth or either it's in terms of total unemployment rate. But we also look at things that have been done, particularly in terms of planning. Look at how the country have been for the past 35 years. You look at the NDPs, for example, from 1 to 6. Look at the Harambe Prosperity Plan. What are those things that we have done well, and what are those things that we are still struggling to do? So that's why we are always making sure that after every conversation that we put on the table, we always make sure that we invite you to engage us in the studio so that you can positively contribute to the conversation and also to the development of your country. That's why we are saying it's not only that it's a one-directed conversation, but it's a conversation which is allow you as a citizen, as an individual, to make sure that you also ask your question, give your contribution, because it could be that you are a person who have more experience in this developmental industry. Could be that you are a person who wrote even books about the topic which is being discussed. Could be that you are an expert in that area, either you teach in that area, or either you have been in that area for quite a long time with wisdom and knowledge. That's why we are always saying, for us to build institution, we are encouraging you to exercise your democratic rights and freedom of expression, so that you can pass your point across, so that you know, people can be able to listen and also use what you are putting on the table. So before we go to what we have on the table today, sorry, it's very important to make sure that you know, you follow Eagle FM Namibia, you follow us at all our social media platform, follow us on Facebook, follow us on X, follow us on Instagram, and also follow us on LinkedIn, because the beauty of you following us is that you will not lose out, because the moment you like and share our page in all those social media platform, the moment you do that, if you like and share our page in all those social media platform, you have a luxury of having access. You have a luxury of having access to economic news, developmental news, and you have a right. You have an opportunity also to listen to aspect of trade, aspect of governance, what is happening around the world, what is happening in terms of geopolitics, what is happening in terms of political economy, and also what is happening in terms of investment and trade. That's why we are economic driven talk radio station. And when we update you, we'll make sure that we put on the table things on of bread and butter, and you will not miss out. And the other thing is also that you can also follow the Villager newspaper. We have an e-paper, which is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And we are always indicating to you that if you are, for example, you are a young person, you are still looking for opportunities, you are a student, you are a researcher, you are interested in economic development, you are interested in trade, investment, you are interested in environmental issue, you are an economist, you are a student of governance, international trade, international relations, and all those things that are attached to development, or you are just an individual who is concerned or about governance, trade, and also food security, an aspect of sport also. Make sure that the Villager newspaper is part of your sources of information, because when you read the Villager newspaper, we don't only give you context and content about economic matters. We also make sure that we reference right up-to-date sources that can also assist you to expand your thinking and knowledge, and you become a citizen, not only a citizen who understand basic social issues, but somebody who can also be able to contribute to the conversation and also to the development of the project that you are in, and also to the profession that you are in. Because what we need, they say the greatest investment is in your mind. Because when you understand what is happening, when you have economic insight and when you have economic intelligence, it's easy for you to make those long-term economic investment, those long-term strategic decisions, and it's also easy for you to avoid unnecessary mistakes, especially when it's coming to finance, trade, investment, and also business. So make sure that you know, you have like and share the Villager newspaper. We can also send you the Villager newspaper every Monday morning, every Wednesday morning, and also every Friday morning. But you just make sure that you send your name to this number, 081-200-4144, 081-200-4144. When you do that, just send your name and save that number as your contact details. And every Monday morning, every Wednesday morning, and every Friday morning, you will get the Villager newspaper as a soft copy for free. You get it for free so that you can be able to read and make it part of your sources. Yeah. And the other thing is also that, you know, there are always those who are asking to say, Eagle FM, where are you? We are not able to get connected to you. We are indicating to you that in the world of digitalization and also advancement in terms of technology, we come up with a better and smart way of you connecting to us by just making sure that, you know, you download Eagle FM app. Go to your Play Store, go to your App Store, download Eagle FM app, just type in Eagle FM Namibia, you'll get that app, you download it, then you'll be able to listen to the programs which are on air, and also to the previous programs that you have missed, or when the program was playing, or when somebody was live on air, you were doing something of equal importance. Just make sure that, you know, you download Eagle FM app, then you have a right to access that via the app. You can listen to the programs which are on air, and also the previous, you know, programs through podcast. Wherever you find yourself in the world, as long as you are connected to internet, whether you are outside the country, outside the continent, wherever you are finding yourself, as long as you are connected to internet, Eagle FM app can work the same, mechanism as you are using WhatsApp. And yeah, lastly, before we go to what we have on the table for you this morning, so that you can download Imba app. Download Imba app. Imba app is a digital version of a hymn book that is in various Namibian languages, such as Shuambo, Imbe Hangano, Maimburiro, Shiherero, Afrikaans, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So download Imba app so that you will imba with us, so that, you know, you don't need a hard copy hymn book anymore, or in a situation that you lost it or you gave it to somebody, just make sure that, you know, you download Imba app, and you can have an access to the digital version of the hymn book. And yeah, You can also market, you can also advertise with us. You can advertise with us. You can buy airtime on air, and you can also advertise with the Villager newspaper, because if you have access to the Villager newspaper, if you can advertise with us, you can talk to Monica Ipinge, then you have your platform to have access to your potential customers around the world, because in the world of digitalization, it's not only people who are in Namibia, but people around the world who can see your products. Market with us, buy airtime on air, and you can also make sure that you get your clients, because we are always indicating to you that the money invested in advertisement is money on your way, or money on the way to come back to the investor. So do that and you not miss out. So let's pay the bills, and we'll look at what we have on the table today. What do we have on the table today? Particularly starting on an international ground. What is happening around the world? What is happening in the continent of Africa, in SADC region, in Namibia? And we look at the main discussion for today. That's why we are always telling you to say, stay tuned, stay tuned. We are here. We are here until the hour of 8. We're always indicating to you that when it's coming to governance, economic, and issues of trade, you don't need to miss out. That's why we are indicating to you to say, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop. With me, David Shombe, and we are here until the hour of 8, so stay tuned.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Yes, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And yeah, let's start with what is happening, particularly in Africa. Let's see what is happening. And also, let us see what is happening in terms of the national news. We are starting with DRC Congo. That is starting with DRC. It was indicated that the United Nations declare crimes, including gang rape, murder, torture, and also torture in Congo, especially when the armed forces of M23 rebels have committed crimes on that ground since 2024. Those are some of the, and this was a report by United Nations Human Rights Commission in DRC. That is what is happening. That is what is happening on that ground, and it's also quite important to look at this news compared to what is happening also around the world. And it's not a matter of seeing which one is a bigger sin than the other, but when you look at what is happening, especially in between Israel and Palestine, it's very important for United Nations to declare what is happening in Africa as crimes and all this. But it's also quite crucial to look at the gravity of the situation, especially when you are looking at the international humanitarian crisis. Because what is happening in Palestine cannot be compared to anything. There is death every day. And not in 20s. But in hundreds, and it's quite some of the things that we need to look at to say what is this double standard, or it's also part of how things were supposed to be looked at. Because, but yeah, let us look at this news. Let us look at this news and see what the United Nations is saying. And especially when, this year, especially from 2024 and 2025, there is quite, increment in terms of conflict in Africa. And you don't know why these things are happening. If you look at, what has been happening in Mozambique, if you look at even in Angola recently, then you look at DRC, you look at Sudan, you look at Nigeria, you look at Ethiopia. It's quite you need some assessment to see what is really happening. Because when you look at how Africa have been since 1963, since the formation of Organization of African Unity, which translates to African Union in early 2000, you'll be able to see that from 2002 onward, the focus of African Union or African countries was a bit changing, because one of the things in African Agenda 2063 is the Africa that you want, the aspect of silencing the guns, and also the aspect of looking at different areas to say Africa is no more looking at conflicts such as liberations. Africa now is looking at the fight against the economy. But what is happening now is quite opposite of what is on the table and what Africa want to get into. If you look at the state of Libya, if somebody asks you who is the president of Libya now, you will not know, although there is a president, but does that president has power to control everything? How is the economy of Libya now? What is the impact of the conflict of Libya to the whole continental economy? So it's up for us to interpret. It's up for us to interpret. And also, the question that we need to ask ourselves is that, what can we learn from this? What are the causes of this, conflicts? And the student of conflict studies must be able to understand not only the causes, but how to prevent such circumstances which hinders the economy. Because we can say whatever we can say about our country, but one of the things that we did well is keeping peace. One of the things that we did well in Namibia is keeping peace and also stability. Yeah, that is why every day when you go to Hosea Kutako International Airport, you'll be able to see tourists are coming here and there. People are coming to rest. People are coming into Namibia to rest. But what the question that we need to ask ourselves is that what other things that we can do better to maintain this peace and also to sustain it? So yeah, let us look at the case of DRC and move forward. Let's look at this case and also
a new report by a team of experts that visited Eastern Congo between March and August warned of the prospect of war crimes and crimes against humanity that may have been committed since late 2024 and since the conflict escalated in January when M23 rebels seized the city of Goma.
Specifically, the report stresses that Rwanda is responsible for violations directly committed by its armed forces on the territory of the DRC. We have received credible allegations concerning the covert presence of RDF personnel within the M23.
The UN says Congolese forces also carry a degree of culpability. Their violations included deliberate killings of civilians, widespread use of sexual violence, mainly rape and gang rape, and looting.
The report also states that the DRC bears responsibility not only for the violations committed by its armed forces, but also by its affiliated armed groups, to the extent that their members acted under its direction or control.
The UN Human Rights Council is expected to consider the report at its upcoming session.
It is heartbreaking and deeply frustrating to witness once again the dehumanization of the civilian population by those in power who are failing in their responsibilities.
The report found that M23 rebels had carried out summary executions, torture, affecting thousands of civilians perceived as opposing the group, its authority or recruitment.
That is what's happening in DRC. United Nations has conducted a study and an investigation also to try and look at who are main involved in these activities, because in war there are also rules. There are also rules and regulations on how you fight war. Especially, when you look at, what Geneva Convention have put on the table is to say, when you are in war, you cannot kill civilians. Cannot kill civilians. There must be protection of women and children. Must be protection of mainly women and children and also civilians in general. And also, journalists too, must also protect journalists, because the world must also be updated on what is happening on the ground, although there is no just war. But for your own understanding, is that what is happening in DRC is that the United Nations spokesperson of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, that is Lavina Shandasani, indicated that both M23 and also the government of DRC have committed crimes, especially execution and also sexual violence toward the civilians, because at the end of the day, in most cases, most of the victims of war, as we have been talking about, is women and children, and children, because they become most of the time victims of war due to those circumstances. But the question that we need to ask ourselves is that when is this going to end? Because for your understanding, there is also now Ebola. It's Ebola. That is one of the deadliest, diseases. It's Ebola. It's in DRC. And both World Health Organization, talk about Red Cross, talk about international institutions. Are they in DRC trying to cater for this or trying to contain the situation? And DRC response team is also working together with these international institutions. But the question you're asking yourself is that when is DRC going to see peace? And when is order going to be there? And the question is also that you need to ask yourself is that what is the order and stability of DRC means to the external world? And who is benefiting from this, critical situations? And what you need to put on the table, and also what you need to analyze, is also that what is the impact, or what is the relationship between the wealthy of DRC or the wealthy of countries and their conflicts? What is the relationship between that, and how is mineral resources governance impact the lives of the people on the ground? Because remember, it's not a coincidence, and it's up for you also to analyze, to say when you have a wealthy nation and you cannot manage the resources very well, what would happen? Why conflict in most cases only started wealthy nations? Are these people unruly, or there is external force? It's not only in DRC, it's in Sudan, it's in Libya, it's in Iraq, it's Afghanistan, and everywhere that you find natural resources. And also, for your own understanding, do your own study and also look at international institutions, bigger companies. Where is their investment? When you look at bigger companies, their investment is also in those poor conflict countries with natural resources. And who is protecting those natural resources is up to you to interpret that. But it's just a question of you to analyze this and also to look at the aspect of what lesson can I learn from this? What lesson can I learn from this? As a country also with mineral resources, how should I manage my natural resources better so that I will not be example which is going to be used in the media in the next 20 years or so? So yeah, let us look at Sudan. Stated that in Sudan, war devastate farming and pushing millions toward famine. And when there is conflict, the economy is impacted negatively. Particularly, the first thing that is affected by conflict is logistic. First thing that is impacted by conflict is logistic. Number two is clients, and also sustainability of a business. Because when you have conflict and you have war, the security is the one which is you first lose, and then you also lose clients, and also your ability also to get supplies. So now they are stating that when you look at the farming, in Sudan, stated that based on United Nations report, around 224.6 million Sudanese are now faced with several food insecurity or worse. Severe food insecurity or worse, because you must know also understand that there is a difference between hunger, poverty, famine, and also there are also levels of poverty that we need to put in mind. Because when a report is saying severe food insecurity, it's not only about food insecurity. It's severe food insecurity or worse, and they are also enduring famine-like conditions and most catastrophic levels of hunger. Now, remember that within the poverty condition, there are also those who are advanced in terms of their... there are also those who are poor, but at least there are also levels of poverty. That's why when people are speaking about the catastrophic situation in Sudanese, ask yourself why people are in this situation. What caused the situation? What does it have on the economy? And also, the question that we need to ask ourselves is also that, looking at the dream of African continental free trade area, is it going to be successful? Is it going to be successful? When you look at the dream of African continental free trade area, is it going to be successful with these conflicts? And what caused these conflicts in these African countries? Is it poor governance? Is it greedy? Is it, inability to manage natural resources? Or what? Because in most cases, when you put this thing in mind, most richest countries in the world, in terms of resources, are in Africa. Or the Africa continent is, we are sleeping on top of a gold. But the question you are asking yourself, what is the impact of mismanagement of natural resources? What is the impact of this to the people and the future of Africa? Because if you do that, then you can also be able also to see how can you navigate through that. Because if we fail at that ground, we are not going to make it anymore. It started a long time ago. It's continued where it is. And even today, when you are going to discuss about issues of the future of skills, we also need to put these things in mind to say, who is failing African countries? Is it the education system? Is it the leadership? Or is citizens themselves? Or the external world? So, these are some of the things that we need to discuss more and also look at. But yeah, let us look at what is happening in Sudan. Let us look at what's happening in Sudan, especially when you look at farming and food insecurity. That one of the also rich country in terms of natural resources, but also one of those countries that never see peace for quite some times. Never see peace for quite some times. For you to for your own understanding also, the conflict of Sudan. So, what caused the division of South Sudan and also North Sudan? That's why, for your own understanding, for you who can remember very well, if you can, let us look at. Let's take the caller before we go to. Hello.
Shortly.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. How are you too?
No, I'm well.
I don't know how we start. Maybe we can start also with the skills that will be needed in the next 2 years.
No, we are going there. We still have one more hour.
Oh.
Yeah, but for you to pre-empt that, you can also put it on the table.
To do what?
No, you can also put it on the table. It's not a problem at all.
Yeah, no. I think since we have put it on the table already, we just have to digest it.
Yeah.
Let's start with the conflict in Africa, in the world, actually.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, so the silencing of the gun, as was an agenda, has it been abandoned? Or what kind of efforts and commitment are we putting to end the war, especially in the Sudan and everywhere? Is there a need for creating a special army, kind of consolidated one?
Yeah.
Or what is it that should be done? Is it just now the mediation do not produce good results? What do we do, actually?
No, it's actually a good question, because when you look at what African leaders, what they do when they meet, is quite very good and also impressive. But when you look at what they do, for example, these are people who put the plan on the table, and these are also people and from different generations. These are also people who have been also trying to, who fought colonialism. Then they started looking at the economy. But for your own understanding, if you look at the same African leaders are the same one who are saying, I'm 91 years old, but I'm still going to run for the 8th term. Then you are asking yourself to say, what is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? And how can we solve these things? And looking at now what is happening around, especially with rich
countries in terms of natural resources. If you understand the concept of Darfur, you understand Sudan, you understand why they divided it, you understand DRC. DRC, we have been there, Namibia, not me, but we understand how things are happening. But I think it's just the economic part of things that you are not doing very well.
Yeah, because you cannot have an economic growth moment without when there is war.
But
that one we can forget about it.
Mm.
The social development, economic development, whatever. Once there is political instability, then I think all other good things you can always forget about them. The first thing that need to be stabilized is the political environment. So then that when we then come in and deploy and all these kind of things, because without that, I'm telling you, people will just be dying and then the conflict to spray over and things like that. So, of course, in the countries where you have got leaders who have ruled for many years because of their wisdom and things like that, those countries were stable. Libya has been stable when Gaddafi was there.
Yeah.
But the only thing that I hate is because we as masses allow ourselves to be influenced. And then the internal conflicts begin there. Of course, there are those problems, economic factors, and that really leads to rioting or a burial. The barrier and things like that. But it is us who are allowing ourselves to be, and sometimes we influence ourselves.
But is it external influence or internal influence also?
It starts with internal influence. I mean external. They have to find some people to use, that they can use, that can be used. To start revolting and all these other things. And then now internal, because it was also mentioned by the president of South Africa that our internal system, arrangement there, our institutions, perhaps are not also doing well. And then we, those people now outside, they capitalize on those loopholes. And then inside, even violence.
But
those are some of the areas I think they can really be dealt with.
Yeah, but you know what it is. You know this. I think it's also how we interpret it. You know, when you look at international companies, which are dealing with natural resources, even when there is war in a country, these guys are still operating. Do you understand that what I mean?
Okay.
They are still operating. They make sure that their assets are protected by private securities.
You see, no?
They make sure that their logistics, the way they do logistics, is secured. The conflict is still continuing. Don't think business is stopping in DRC. Don't think people are not exporting cobalt. Don't think people are not extracting oil. And also don't think people are not taking diamond and gold. Business is still operating even if millions of people are dying.
You see,
these are some of the things that you need to put. Yeah.
I don't know. We really need to clean up. There's some of the songs that were sung by late Rashiyama.
Yeah.
Clean up the reason, the region.
Yeah.
From blood and what? From the blood and war and blood. So I think in these songs, the mention of Mozambique, the mention of those things.
Yeah.
And they are told, you know, clean up the region from blood and the war. So when are we going to start doing that? And those are some of the legacy that we are left for us.
Yeah.
And the message is clear. So let's start mobilizing ourselves not to be influenced by external influence.
Yeah.
We may just want to take our resources. Want us to kill ourselves, and then they will come and they will take opportunity. So, David, let me end up here on the skills. We hear more about what you are saying is very much relevant.
Yeah.
Some of these skills are just functional skills that you can add on your LLB.
Yeah.
And then you now see how you, you can become relevant actually.
It's true. The reason is to be relevant in the market. It's not about how many qualifications you have acquired. Are you relevant? The question is that, are you relevant?
Can you see now?
Yeah.
So thank you very much, David.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Uncle.
All the best.
Yes. Yes. Before we go to the aspect of skills, let us look at this case of Sudan. Then we can dive into what we have, what is the World Economic Forum report saying about the future of skills that are needed in the market, because these are some of the things that we need to look at. But for now, let us look at what's happening, especially with Sudan. Then we can move forward.
Once the backbone of Sudan's economy, the sector has been crippled by widespread fighting that destroyed irrigation systems, drove farm workers from their land, and left vast areas uncultivated. Since 2024, the conflict has spread into key grain-producing regions in central and southeastern Sudan, further reducing arable land. The Gezira Agricultural Scheme, Sudan's largest irrigated farming zone, has been particularly hit hard. The infrastructure of the Gezira agricultural zone has suffered severe damage in the conflict. Houses and buildings, irrigation facilities, farm machinery and other agricultural inputs were badly damaged. Large tracts of farmland have been abandoned, and even the management offices were looted. One could say the entire agricultural zone is nearly destroyed. Although fighting in Gezira has eased since early this year and displaced families are beginning to return, recovery has been slow. Local authorities estimate the conflict has cost between $15 and $20 billion in damages. Everything is terrible. We have no money, no food, and all supplies are exhausted. We don't even have drinking water, so we fetch it from the river. This is the hardship we're facing now. According to the United Nations, about 24.6 million Sudanese are facing severe food insecurity or worse.
Yes, that is the situation. That is the situation in Sudan. When there is war, when there is conflict, it's not only soldiers dying, but it's also the economy which is dying and very difficult to rebuild. Very difficult to rebuild. There is one thing which the late Dr. Ngenkop used to say, especially in terms of peace, to say peace is very difficult to build, but it's easy to destroy what is built, but very difficult to build. Because remember, even now when we are standing as Namibia, we are still talking about colonialism. We are still talking about conflict. We are still talking about the legacy of apartheid. We are still talking about the legacy of apartheid to say the war have ended, but what is there? Think about a country like, look at Angola, for example. Yes, they have wealthy. They are wealthy, they have wealth, they have richness. But look at the legacy of civil war. The legacy of Angolan civil war is still seen in the face of the kids that you meet in the street of Windhoek. That is the legacy of war. That's the legacy of conflict. Look at, because when you talk about conflict, it's not only about war. It's also about, you can put it at a personal level. Because if you fight with somebody, how is it going to impact your personal economy, if you put it that way? Because if we look at it from that direction, I think we'll be able also to solve it. Because there is one thing that is called the legacy of war. What is going to be happen after you won that war, after you are defeated? What is the long term impact of that? If you look at Angola, look at Zimbabwe. Look at Zimbabwe before 2000. Look at the Zimbabwe before 2000. How Zimbabwe was. Zimbabwe could have overtaken South Africa in terms of development. But look at it before 2000, 2001. Then you'll be able to understand where we are going. So those are some of the things that we need to ask ourselves, especially if you have, if you think about other things than peace and how we can operate within this peace zone to solve our own problems. So I think those are some of the things that we need to look at. But for now, let us look at, you can engage us before we go to the conversation of the future of the skills, the most required skills in the next 5 years. Before we go there, you can still engage us about this news at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. For now, let us look at, what do we have? What do we have on the table? What do we have on the table? However, for now, it's also important to look at, commercial break.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
We are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are here until the hour of 8. We are here until the hour of 8. And today, as we have been discussing, we are talking about the future. We are talking about the future, especially when it's coming to the most, required skills, in the next 5 years. What are some of the most required skills in the next 5 years? Because what you need to understand is that the world have gone through transformation in the past 20 years. The world have gone through transformation, and things have changed. The traditional way of doing things have changed so fast that very difficult to grasp. Just think about it this way. Things that a 5 years old kid can do now, when you were young, they required you 15 years to do. Things that the way that the children, the way the children are operating now, the way they think, is because of the change around the world. Not only the change in terms of, it's not their biological makeup. It's the environment where they find themselves. When you look at the structure of the economy, although human beings continue to think and continue to advance themselves, the structure of the economy have changed so much that issues of education system is faced with difficult challenges to continue upgrading themselves, to meet the demand in the job market and also to solve the current problems. Because interestingly, for your own understanding, when you have advancement in terms of technology, for example, you also need advancement in terms of the skills of those people. When you have a new product in the market, when you have a new model of vehicles in the market, you also need engineers with different skills. Just for example, compare the advancement in terms of a watch, just a watch. For now, a smartwatch can do anything that that a cell phone can do. A cell phone can do anything that we only used to think is only computers that can do. But what is very interesting is that looking at the World Economic Forum report of 2025, because what is very interesting about World Economic Forum is that this international institution, which complies of not only economists, not only people from civil society organizations, even government experts and policymakers, where they meet annually to discuss about the future of the economy, the future of skills, the future of development, and also look at various areas of governance and also of business. They always come up with a prediction to say, in terms of changes around the world, there are those most required skills. There are those most required skills in that will be needed by the market. That will be needed by the market, that will make you relevant. I gave an example to say, my father is a BETD graduate. By that time, at the village, when somebody has a BETD, for your understanding, there used to be, I think, a BEC, Basic Education Certificate, then a Basic Education Diploma. That time, when somebody has a BETD, even when he come on the table, you must respect that person. Because it, by that time, it was required as most educated people around. And they were delivering based on that understanding. But for now, when you are looking at it now, education have changed so much. When you look at the curriculum of a BDD, for example, compare it with the curriculum of BED, Bachelor of Education Honors, for example. Compare that content. Then you'll be able to realize that much have changed. Now, after that, they bring about, after that, a degree and honors. Look at the content of education, a degree, in the past 10 years. Then the content of education degree in the past 5 years. Look at what is needed. What is needed in the market currently. Now, it happens everywhere, because by then we used to think when somebody is a doctor, he can solve any medical issue. But if you spend 7 years at university and you get a medical degree and you fail to advance yourself in terms of what is happening in terms of robotics, what is happening in medicine and the robotics aspect of that, it will be equivalent to an ordinary nurse in that area. Because in most cases, things have changed so much to that extent that people need to continue advancing themselves. Now, the question is that, where are we going in the next 5 years? Because there's a global perspective where the world is going. There's a continental perspective, putting in mind your current challenges. Then there's a national perspective. Where is the country going? Where are we standing? What are some of our immediate challenges that we have? And what are some of the skills that we want? Now, the World Economic Forum have focused more on technology, has focused more on the changes in global advancement, focus more on globalization, look at AI. But they have mentioned some of the top 10 skills that are identified. And what is very interesting is that this is what you can add to the qualification that you can add, that you have, or what you can add to the training that you have, because it's not only about qualification, it's what you can do. It's not what you have, it's what you can do. Can you do that which is required? So, according to World Economic Forum report of 2025, the future of jobs, the first skill that is put on the table, guess what? It's analytical thinking. It's analytical thinking. And for you to understand what is analytical thinking, it's up to you to go and interpret that. Can you think analytically? So when we are sending our kids to universities, when we are sending our kids to school, let us focus on what we want our kids to know. What do you want our kids to have? Don't just say, no, this one is my child. They got all the A's in mathematics, agriculture, and all these things. But can your kid think critically? Can your kid analyze data? Can your kid be able to solve problems, even at a personal level? Because I remember, when I finished my university degree, I was a tutor for one of the kid. It's a kid of one of the CEOs. I was lucky to teach that kid, and I asked the CEO to say, well, what made you to become so this chief executive officer? I said, no, David, look, I lead some of the most educated people in the institution. But, you know, I'm paid because I deal with problems. That is what he told me. He said, no, I'm paid because I deal with problems every day. I'm paid so much money, but I'm dealing with problems. One of the skills which I have is to solve problems and to think 5 years for the institution. And I said, I think these are some of the things that we are not taught at university. These are some of the things that we are not taught at university. To say, no, it's not about the qualification which I have. One of the things which I'm able to do is what he told me. Say, one of the things which I'm able to do is that I think critically, and I also think long term. And the other thing is also that I solve problems. I'm a problem solver. I come to the situation not blaming people, but what can I do? That's what make me the chief. And I say, I think we still need to go back to university to learn about these things. But is this what our kids are being told at university? Are they being told problem solution to problems? If they are being told these skills, are they being told these skills to apply them at the job market? Because one of the skills which is listed by World Economic Forum, apart from analytical thinking, is leadership and also lifelong learning. The World Economic Forum report is saying those who are going to survive in the next 5 years are those who are lifelong learner, because the world becomes so unpredictable to that extent that skills needed to be learned very fast. The other time I was talking with Ganjengo, and Ganjengo told me to say, he's here on air, I think it's last week, and he said, look, he's not against academic PhD holders, but he look at what is your relevance in the market. What is your relevance? Ask yourself this question. You are a PhD holder, you are a master's holder, you are a degree holder, and you are telling people wherever you are to say, no, I have a degree. What is your contribution of your qualification to the community? It's what I'm asking myself every day also to say. Went to university for this number of years, got these papers. But what can I do? What can I contribute to this? What are some of the skills which I have that I can contribute to this to this, you know, to the development of my country. What can I do with those qualifications? If we are not able to do that, if our education system is continued to teach us just to acquire paper, they are pushing us toward the graduation. They say, if you don't do this, you are not going to graduate. If you don't do this, we are not going to graduate. They are pushing us toward qualification. And the society have this thing of to say, if somebody is a university dropout, he has to be put down to that extent that this person will not even focus on his dream. Because you know what is interesting? In the US, kids, they go to university not for qualifications. They go there, they get their... Someday they stay there for 2 years, they get the skills that they want, they leave, they start their, they go to, how do you call this, they go to Silicon Valley, they have their startups. But that is in the US, but in the context of us Namibians is to say, on top of the qualification that we are getting, on top of the diplomas that I'm getting from university, what skills do I have? And that is what people are not emphasizing on, to say, I'm producing these people. And that's what's happening in Namibia. They push, they give us qualification, they give us graduation gown, and we are very happy. Then they put us into the market. They say, no, go into the market and create your own employment. But they did not say, at this degree, these are the skills that are going to be useful, or these are the skills that you are going to add. Then you have to run through all the institutions looking for jobs. That's how the system is. But the World Economic Forum is to say, those who are going to survive in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years, are those who are critical thinkers, are those who are analytical thinkers, and are also those who understand leadership. Now, the question that we need to understand ourselves is that, do we have leadership in Namibia? Do we have leadership? What kind of leadership do we have in Namibia? Either it's political leadership, it's corporate leadership, is leadership at an NGO level. So we need to ask that question. Am I a leader that is required? So
when life gifts you an unexpected breakdown, take control with Express Credit. No need to panic when you're in the driver's seat of your financial life. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars, repayable over 2 to 5 months. Same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or call 081-9500-500 for more information.
Yeah, World Economic Forum did not say you must study mathematics, you must study science. They say the most required skills. Now, leadership is also something that we need to look at. When you speak about leadership, how is the concept of leadership that we have? And this is a very tricky question. It's a very tricky question because, in an African tradition, we had our own philosophy of leadership. But when it comes to post-colonial Namibia now, we have leadership defined differently. Which I understand, which leadership need to be taught to be advanced. But we are so confused to that extent that the definition of leadership, we do not have it anymore. What is leadership? Are you able to lead? Are you a leader who, and also what is the definition of a good leader? And you need to be good, or you need to be effective. Do you want to be a leader who smiles with everybody, or you want to be a leader who helped your institution to move forward? And when you go to the concept of leadership, we need to go deep into that to say, who is a leader? But the basic understanding of leadership is your ability to influence people of different professions, people of different backgrounds, to achieve the objective of the institution that you are leading. Because at the end of the day, it's about achieving the objective of the institution. But in Namibia, do you have leadership? If we have to analyze the political leadership, how is our evaluation in terms of political leadership? If we have to go to corporate leadership, how is the corporate leadership? And when you talk about corporate leadership, we don't only talk about the board and the chairperson of the board or the CEO. we can also go down to the supervisory level and ask ourselves this question to say, do we have these skills that are going to take us anyway? Because what is very interesting is also that when the World Economic Forum is talking about the most required skills in the next 5 years and 10 years, they are not just saying you must have these skills. They are measuring these skills in terms of the contribution to the economy, because they understand that an expert, somebody who has a master's in engineering cum laude with all the distinctions, you cannot run an electrical plant successfully without understanding the concept of leadership. Now, the other thing is also resilience. It's also resilience. Now, when we speak about the most required skill, one of the most required skills that is stated here is resilience. And when you speak about resilience, we also need to ask ourselves this question: is to say, what kind of people are we in Namibia? What kind of people are we in Namibia? Are we resilient enough? Are we resilient enough? And the basic definition of resilience is just for your ability to withstand pressure. So ability to withstand pressure. And also, it's ability to withstand pressure and also continue moving forward regardless of the situation. You are resilient enough to continue pushing. Because today when I came to work, came around 5:30 there, then looking at a town, it's a bit dark, but there's these guys, you know, these young boys who are selling eggs and rations. I've seen two of them. Then the question I'm asking myself is that, what time is this boy waking up? Then I also ask myself is that, where are the other boys who also sell eggs and other products in the street? Then I realized to say, no, this is is the best among them. Because even at that level of selling eggs in the street, there are levels of those who are resilient, and there are also levels of those who are pushing extra hard. Because at one point in the situation that the economy of Windhoek is not doing very well, I'm just giving an example, I don't want it to be like that. At one point when the economy of Windhoek is not doing very well, and people are also not able to afford just buying eggs from the street, those who are going to survive are those who wake up early. Are those who wake up early, because by the time it's 10 o'clock, the boy is already done with his stock. He's going to get another one. By the time you come, he's done with his client. Now, he's also somebody who's going to withstand pressure. He's also somebody who's going to withstand pressure. But what the World Economic Forum is telling us is to say, in the next 5 years, is about those who are resilient, and these are things that we are not taught at. These are things that we are not taught at universities. When we were at university, we were just taught finish your degree. Because if I have to tell you my story, which I'm not going to do it, but one of the things is that when I enter the gate of University of Namibia, I had one aim is to get a university degree. Then get a job after 3 months, then get married to the most beautiful lady, and get maybe 2 or 3 kids, and then I'll be listening to country music every weekend with my family. That was it's a basic dream of any ordinary Namibian. But when you get there, you'll be able to understand that things are not what you put in mind. It's not about the basic life that you put on the table. It's about extra other skills that we need to put in the bucket so that we can move forward. That's why we are not taught these things. We are not taught these things. And I don't want to say the system lied to us. And I'm not going to say that. But what I'm indicating is that we are not taught at university that what you need is not a paper. is the skills. And when you are just completing assignment, that is not what is needed. It's the skills that what is needed. And we are not taught these things to say, when a person is told at the calculus to say, solve X, it's not about what you're going to use with X or find Y. It's not about what you're going to use with Y. It's about your ability to solve a problem. It's about critical thinking. And we are not taught these things to say, when I'm given a mathematic that I'm not going to use in the field, what the lecturer failed to tell us, or what the teacher failed to tell me, even the teacher himself does not, the teacher mathematic does not understand that when kids are given these kinds of mathematics, not all of them are going to become engineers and, architectures and, mathematicians, but what they are being taught is critical thinking and at what level. So, but yeah, it's something that is up for, well, interpretation, and it's something that we really need to look at if we want to move forward as a nation, particularly on the ground that we have delivered the dream of independence, which is to have Namibians educated at a certain standard. But are these educated Namibians in the market? Do you know the funny thing about where we are now? Most of the people who are now working, either public sector or private sector, are not with those with qualification, are those without qualifications. Majority of educated people are the ones who are not in the job market. Put it that way. Majority of the people are the ones who are not in the job market. Majority of the work for those human capital, unutilized human capital, are the ones who are the educated ones, are the ones who are working. In Namibia, the most educated people are not working. Now you can do your calculation, do your statistics. Go to NSA and see this. The question is that, where is the gap? Were we teaching qualification in connection to the job, or were we teaching skills required? So dear listeners, let us look at the commercial break. But you can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. We are talking about the most required skills in the next 5 years, according to World Economic Forum, the future of jobs. And we are also trying to find the link between academically qualified and job market required. It's to say, are we being taught to acquire qualification? Are we being taught to contribute positively to the job market? So these are some of the questions that we really need to ask ourselves, not only as citizens, but as professionals, as academics. Is to say, why are you teaching the kids that you are teaching? Are you just teaching to do your job? And what is your job? You're just teaching to complete the KPI. Or you are teaching somebody so that that person can contribute to the community. So, let us look at the commercial break, then we move forward.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact.
The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
Yes, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And as it has always been the case, today we are looking at issues that are contributing to the national economy, issues that are contributing to international economy. And as what we have been indicating to you, today we are looking at most required skills in the next 5 years. What are some of the top required skills in the next 5 years? According to World Economic Forum Future of Jobs Report of 2025, we have spoke about analytical thinking. We have spoken about resilience, and the other one is AI and big data. It's AI and big data. You know, when technology came, a lot of people were so resistant to changes. And those who were resistant to changes, either at the job market or at the personal level, they have seen what they have lost. Because when you look at where we are now, the grandmothers of the grannies of 2035, they understand AI. They understand AIs. Grannies of 2035, they understand AI, and they will be able to send their grandchildren money through, for example, Tamba Instant, MTC Maris. They have to send through MTC Maris. They understand fintechs. If you want to survive well in your old age, understand AI and understand big data, understand advancement of technology, and also understand fintechs, understand financial technology, because that is where the world is. And it's undeniable that artificial intelligence, data science is going to lead the world, because people are looking at the better and smart way of doing things. If you don't understand what is AI, start reading about that today. It's not about you having a deep understanding and start giving a lecture about it, but you having a basic understanding and also see why do you need it in the area that you are. So those are some of the skills that are needed. The other thing is also technological literacy. Technological literacy, we have spoken about data analysis. We've spoken about data analysis, but one of the other thing is also on top of resilience is flexibility. How flexible are you? Ask yourself this question: if you are not doing the job that you study for, what other jobs can you do? If you are not driving a taxi that you are driving now, what other thing can you do? Think about that way. Are you flexible enough to say, if you are not a construction worker, what other things can you do? Because if we come to that extent of flexibility, because as we have mentioned to say, Jet Li said that we must be like water. We must be like water, able to take a shape and a form of any space that we find ourselves, because there is no law that beat the law of flexibility. Because I'm always impressed by people who fit in wherever they find themselves. I'm always interested with people who fit in wherever they find themselves. I have this friend of mine, whose name is not going to be mentioned. This man can fit anywhere. And I'm always impressed by the way he fit anyway. If you find him in a soccer field, he will be able to blend in and fit anyway. If you find this person at church, it's one of the most holiest person, and understand the decorum of the decorums and protocols of being at a church. If you find that other person at a professional level, is one of the most cooperative person that you can ever find. And if you find this person at an entertainment place, you forget that it's a person that you met with different environment. And one of the other things is that one of the skills I got from this person is that this person is so flexible enough and also able to understand and fit anyway. And he has a lot of skills. And he taught me to say, for you to survive in this world, you need more than a paper, because the world is changing. If you, somebody said, if you awaken your grandparents who maybe a person in 1995, for example, and tell him or her that the world is like this, he will not agree with you. He will not agree with you, because much has changed and it requires us to change to that aspect. Now, I'm telling you this for free. And it's up to you to go and read this, because if you want to, if you are a researcher, if you are in SMEs, if you are in a student, you are a parent, look at some of these top 10 skills required in the next 5 years, according to World Economic Forum, the Future of Job report in 2025, because. And try to see, you don't need to learn everything, try to see what skills fit in your environment. Because the main problem that we have is that we do not contextualize what we discuss about. Because World Economic Forum made a prediction and made a study to say in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years, these are the most required skills in the world. And the world is all being enough. Then looking at a country like Namibia, what are the most required skills by students, by final year students of 2025, for example? What are the most required skills? Because if we need to ask this question, because if you're a final year student now, or if you have a kid who is a final year student now in Namibia, where we are the highest country in terms of unemployment in SADC region, and you do not have a secured future for your kid, make sure that you think very fast and say, my kid, I have a game plan for you. This is where we are going to be. I know you are a lawyer. I know you want to study JTC. You want to be an admitted lawyer. But for you to be a best lawyer, or the job market is like this, or there's a fluctuation in the job market, these are some of the most required skills. What other skills are required to fit in the Namibian job market? Are you flexible enough, my kid? Do you understand data analysis? How is your understanding of AI? How is your understanding of data analysis? How is your understanding are you a lifelong learner, or your education stopped the day you wrote your final examination? Are you a lifelong learner? If you are not a lifelong learner, start now. So, because otherwise, if we don't pay attention to this, if we don't contextualize what we learn, then we just apply what we have learned blindly. Then, my dear friend, we have a long way to go. And we are not going to get where we want to get. We are not going to get where we want to get. So we need to make sure that when it's coming to the skills that are required. And remember this. They did not speak about specific. They speak about skills that you can learn from anywhere. You can add to what you already have. Because if you are not an analytical thinker, if you don't understand the data, if you do not understand how technology is working, you are not only going to suffer, you are going to become a victim of a lot of things. Cybersecurity is on the way. Scammers are online. You are going to be stressed. And it's not going to be an easy thing. So, dear listeners, you can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401. You can ask your question, you can give your contribution, you can criticize, you can also look at what are those skills that Namibia required? What are those skills that Namibians are required on top of the top 10 skills required by World Economic Forum for you to survive in the next 5 years, especially when it's coming to the job market. Yeah, because when you do that, then it's easier for you. Then you can also be able to contribute to the development of your country. So, yes, you can call back. For your understanding, the Villager newspaper is out. The Villager newspaper is out. If you are a student, if you are an economist, make sure that you have a luxury of accessing the Villager newspaper. And when you access the Villager newspaper, you will make your life easier. You make your life easy. And it's going to be easy for you when you do that, because you have that luxury of having access to you have that luxury of having access to data, because the beauty of the Villager newspaper is that, and I understand Mike will also help you with unpacking. Mike will assist you with unpacking when he's coming to unpack the day. So it's 40 minutes past the hour of 7. We have around 20 minutes before we come to the end of our program. And just to look at some of the main headlines that you also need to look at, especially when it's coming to the Namibian economy, when it's coming to the aspect of farming, it's coming to trade, it's coming to investment, it's coming to governance, and it's coming to innovation. It's coming to innovation. Spoke about financial inclusion. This is your go-to-go newspaper. We are always indicating to you that if you are a researcher, if you are a student, if you are a developmental enthusiast, make sure that the Villager newspaper is your go-to-go paper. It's your go-to-go e-paper. Because there's an aspect of meat go to slaughter around 75,000 cattle for the year 2025, 2026. It's up to you to interpret. And also up to you to look at the trend. Look at the trend from 2023, 2024, 2024 to 2025, 2025 to 2026. And if you are into a beef business, it's how you strategically position yourself, as Uncle Bwana likes saying, to say, you must make sure that you strategize and position yourself well. Because if you are into a meat business or into a beef industry, this is what going to help you. So what going to help you if you have access to data. If you have access to data. And reading the Villager newspaper is also not only about news, it's also about those institutions who understand those institutions who understand that it's quite important also to market, to advertise with us. When you look at the application for Welwitschia, is also out, Welwitschia University. You want to study pharmacy, study health science, you want to study environmental science, social work, especially that aspect of social work, because the market needs you. People need social works. I want to study community health, diploma in mental health. These are some of the required qualifications. So read the Village newspaper for more information. Because if you are a nurse, for example, and you are studying a postgraduate in mental health, nursing, I think that is quite relevant. And the skills that you are going to get are going to be relevant and do contribute positively to the development of the country, especially to the aspect of human development. That's why when you look at the majority of the people, they need assistance, particularly in terms of mental health and also well-being in general. You also need to look at the aspect of carpentry. There's quite a very beautiful article written by an Akilta Ikera, so a colleague. And when you get the luxury of reading that, we'll be able also to get that access, and you will not miss out in terms of data. And yeah, when you look at also inside the Village newspaper, it's an official launch of 2023 Census Regional Report. Official launch of that. And with Namibia Statistics Agency, there are dates and also areas where you are going to find this event. Just make sure that wherever you are finding yourself, you find in which region you are. It's on the 9th, we have Nana, Umtia, and many other regions. Make sure that you read the Village newspaper. Then you get access to these reports. And there are quite a lot of educative articles that you'll be able not only to get content, but you'll be able also to learn. Talk about uranium sector. It's quite a very beautiful article again on uranium. There is an offtake agreement. For Etango. So companies in uranium sector. It's up to you to go and engage in that. And quite interesting also look at the issues of governance. And I understand you're going to read more. Most of you follow the Minister of Urban and Rural Development. Is quite a star there, especially on social media. And there's an article about him, especially when he warns against the external influence on traditional authority. It's up to you to go and read and expand. And interestingly, finished Alliance for Financial Inclusion Global Policy Forum that was hosted in Swakopmund. There's quite an interesting article on financial inclusion. And financial inclusion is at the center of national development. It's at the center of national development because for the simple definition of financial inclusion is ability of everybody to have access to finance, access to money, whether you have an account or you do not have an account. That is where Namibia is trying to go. Yeah, because when you look at Bank of Namibia financial sector transformation strategy, when you look at what they put on the table, let us look at the caller.
Hello?
Oh, sorry, man. Oh, hi. Sorry.
Yeah.
Now, you have got some big secondary schools, me?
Yes.
Those ones in the region, actually.
Yeah.
You know, there are also vocational training center.
Mm.
I'm talking about VTC, I mean, secondary school like Riakana. You have many, many others. Those ones you can, you see, that they can also be converted into somehow technical schools.
Yeah.
So that they can cater for the technical, those who are taught, teaching this woodwork. Those who are doing those welding and fabrication, all those technical aspects. Because some of those secondary schools can really be converted as a matter of agency into technical company. So that at least the relevant skill that you were talking about, when somebody comes from the secondary education, that person should be able to have to know how to, you know, this home economic subject. Very serious. So that the people don't just go after the secondary school. That's when they go now for fashioning, this arts and other subjects. So I think it can be able to move us faster.
No, I hear you.
In many countries, like in Nigeria where we were, so schools have got, every secondary school has got that, those types.
Woodwork,
those, you know, those metal work. So that at least, so now we have discovered those uranium that we are talking about and things like that.
Yeah.
I just believe that it's one of the area that can help us to be relevant.
I hear you. I hear you very well. And looking at those skills, looking at university and vocational training level, especially when we were talking about those additional skills, are we really doing it now? Or we are just teaching people to get the qualifications? Or where are we so far?
Yeah, that is true. We are still very far.
Yeah.
And if we can put our infrastructure in place.
Yeah.
And then we might be able to catch up with the emerging market.
Yeah.
The skill that is needed in the emerging market there.
Yeah.
So, but I think we just need to do more.
Yeah.
Especially in the private sector. No wonder why that NASA Angola at one point really suggested that even the Minister Steenkamp.
Yeah.
He mentioned that the private sectors are just poaching the skills that is really developed by other people.
Yeah.
But that they are not coming so much in, and they wonder, I think they even proposed an act to seriously compel them to come in and assist.
In terms of?
In terms of skill development. In terms of putting their money there.
Yeah, but private sector is a stakeholder in education. They are stakeholders in education. But the question maybe that we need to ask is to say at what level on the table that we are sitting in, as academics, as government, as private university, private sector themselves, looking at the skills.
Yeah, they just need to collaborate and have some concerted effort.
Otherwise,
there's an act that is being proposed by the education, and I believe they discover that maybe private sector are not coming forth so much, even though they are there. So we are all part of that stakeholder.
Yeah.
But then if we are not realizing, if we only look at the social corporate responsibility, that's not enough. So we need to come in seriously so that most of the graduates, many of those who have worked in the government and after some years, they go to private sector. They go to state-owned enterprises. So I am not so sure whether they are doing enough.
Yeah.
They were doing enough, maybe there wasn't a need for that act proposed so that they can be compelled. So when you compel them, I think, you know, it's by force, it's mandatory. So maybe that they are looking at that area, but otherwise, let's engage, let's collaborate and see what we can do.
No, I hear you. You know, if I had the power, I would make you a diplomat because you are always positive in a very difficult situation. But yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Those positions, I think, for the young ones, who are more invested in the digital technology that you're talking about.
Yeah, but yeah, you can do it. Thank you, Ne.
Welcome, sir.
Yes, you know, it's always very good to be positive. Especially at a very difficult situation, because in most cases, when you find ourselves in trouble, we only think about the problem, we don't think about tomorrow. But when you look at how the diplomats engage themselves, they are always looking ahead to say, at the end of the day, what are we getting at the end of the day? What is this? What safety are we securing? That's why I say that, to say, no matter what we say, what we discuss about, what we engage into, we can blame whoever we can blame politicians, we can blame private sector, we can blame academics. At the end of the day, we must move forward. And we must always have this thing in mind when we enter into the debate or a conversation, to say, at the end of this conversation, what are we getting? Because if we have to, because what we are seeing, especially with us Namibians, we are very good at conversations, but we don't look at the reason we engage into the debate, because when you enter the debate, look ahead. That's why Uncle Bana is always saying, no, we must, at the end of the day, we must always find a way how we can collaborate and look at the way forward, because at the end of the day, talks without proposed solutions will not be positive enough and will not contribute anything. And that's why when you are in academia, when you do those research, when you do those dissertation and thesis, when you do them, at the end of you interrogating the problem, there are always recommendations to say, moving forward, what solutions can we bring to this problem? What are some of the solutions that we are proposing? That's why if you are at a community meeting and you are just going there to point out faults from a community leader, without you coming up with a proposal, you are a contributor to the destruction of your community, your community in general. Because that is exactly what you are talking about. So, dear listeners, we have around 5 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. Today we are speaking about the future of, skills, the most required skills in the next, 5 years by World Economic Forum, what they said about one of the most 10 required skills in the next 5 years. We spoke about issues of critical thinking, because at the end of the day, when you go to the vocational training center, when you go to a college, you must always think about this, to say, at the end of the day, what are the skills am I getting from this? What other skills am I getting? And also, what can I do with the skills of qualification I got? And am I flexible enough? Can I able to think critically? Can I able to solve problems? Because I just found out that especially later, after completing my university, say most highly paid people, they are not paid because of their technical skills, but their ability to solve problems. How tough they are, how resilient they are. And what a man in a suit, what a CEO will not tell you, is that how many problems he's dealing with every day. What the best chairperson of the board will tell you is that, he is there because he's a problem solver. Because you deal with problems every day. And do we have that strong heart? Are we being taught to be problem solvers at university? Are we being taught to be a lifelong learner? Are we being taught to be critical thinkers? Are we being taught to understand how data are working? Are we being taught to interpret data? Are we being taught, to, to understand how technology is working. Because, you know, you find yourself at the university where, you know, professors and lecturers are still struggling to open the PowerPoint presentation, which is not a problem at that moment, but, you know, you need to make sure that you manage those basic things, especially when it's coming to technology. Especially when it's coming to technology, because at the end of the day, we must make sure that Namibia is moving somewhere, because after every fight, we must come to the table and say, no man, but it cannot be correct that our country is still behind. It cannot be correct that we continue to blame apartheid until now. Maybe there is something that, as an ordinary young person, I should look at myself and see, what can I do? So, dear listeners, we have around 1 minute before we come to the end of our conversation. And we are always thanking you for making sure that you continue following us at our social media platform. Like and share our page at the Segal FM Namibia. That is Facebook, X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And make sure that you download the Villager newspaper for today and any other day. Subscribe to the Villager newspaper at 081. Just send your name to 081-241-44 so that you can be able to have access to the economic paper every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And yeah, make sure that you download the Gale FM app. Download the Gale FM app so that you will not miss out when it's coming to economic-driven conversation, when it's coming to economic-driven conversations. And on that aspect, do not forget to like and share our page. And download Imba app. Download Imba app. Imba app is a digital version of Hymnbook. Make sure that you download that, and you'll be citizens who understand digitalization and advancement in terms of technology, and make your life easier, because with an understanding of technology, you will not only make work fast, but work smart. And yeah, so from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Mike Oshoveri. I'll give the mic to Mike to unpack the day. So bye-bye.